see this number out this morning. If you take your Bible and be turning with me to the Gospel of Matthew in the 26th chapter, that's where we'll begin our study, Matthew 26. If you're visiting with us, I want you to know we consider you an honored guest, encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. I have no intention of belittling anything you might believe, and yet at the same time have the responsibility to preach the truth of God. In a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's been suggested. If you've not put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready. There's clothing here, the baptistry's filled, and upon your confession in Christ, we can immerse you into Christ for the remission of sins. In the book of Matthew, in the 26th chapter, I want to read some verses with you in a very prayerful manner, and we'll skip some of the verses that we might save some time and get directly to the points I desire to discuss with you at this time. If you will, look at verse 20 beginning. When evening had come, Jesus sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful, and each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, just as it is written of him, but woe to the man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" He said to him, "You have said it." Then to save some time, drop down, if you will, to verse 33. Peter answered and said to him, "Even if all are made to stumble because of you, I will never be made to stumble." Jesus said to him, "Assuredly, I say to you, this night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times." Peter said to him, "Even if I have to die with you, I will not deny you." And so said all the disciples. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to the disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and he began to be sorrowful and deeply distressed. Then he said to them, "My soul is exceedingly sorrowful, even to death. Stay here and watch with me." He went a little further and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will." Then note, if you will, verse 40. Then he came to the disciples and found them sleeping and said to Peter, "What? Could you not watch with me 1 hour? Watch and pray, lest you enter into temptation. The spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak." Again a second time he went away and prayed, saying, "O my Father, if this cup cannot pass away from me unless I drink it, your will be done." And he came and found them asleep again, for their eyes were heavy. Then, if you would, drop down to verse 47. And while he was still speaking, behold, Judas, one of the 12, with a great multitude with swords and clubs, came from the chief priests and elders of the people. Now his betrayer had given them a sign, saying, "Whomever I kiss, he is the one, seize him." Immediately he went up to Jesus and said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. But Jesus said to him, "Friend, why have you come?" Then they came and laid hands on Jesus and took him. At this particular time, I would like for us to examine four different groups. And while we look at these four different groups, I also want us to examine four different positions of these groups. I want you first, if you will, in your Bible, look in verse 47. In verse 47, you'll notice Judas is identified. And when you look at that man named Judas, recognize that earlier he had decided to betray the Christ. He had decided that for his own personal gain, for 30 pieces of silver, he would sell Jesus, the Son of the living God. upon his mind at that time was what he could gain out of selling Jesus. And if you take note in verse 47, notice that Judas came with a great multitude. If you have your Bible, may I suggest you underscore great multitude. Here is Judas, and he is surrounded with the enemies of Christ. Here he is betraying the Lord, and notice that when he comes before the Lord, that he comes with a great multitude of people. There were a lot of individuals at that time opposed to the teaching of Jesus, opposed to who Jesus was, and thus a great multitude sought to arrest Jesus because they wanted to get rid of the Son of God. But then if you take your Bible, notice a second group of people and notice their position. If you will, look at verse 36. In verse 36, notice that Jesus has eight of his disciples sitting. In verse 36, when Jesus came to Gethsemane, he said to his disciples, "Sit here while I go and pray over there." Now, the reason I realize there's eight is because Judas is with the multitude, and three are going to go with Jesus into the garden. So there are eight individuals sitting around the outside of the circle of the Garden of Gethsemane. There you have Jesus in the middle of the garden with his three. You have the eight sitting around, and you have Judas with the multitude. But do observe the three that went in with Jesus. And notice they're a little closer with the Lord in the garden in verse 37. Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, that would be James and John, they went into the garden. And I want you to recognize their position. They're closer to the Lord than the eight who are sitting around outside the garden. And they're definitely closer than Judas, who is outside, who is with the multitude of the enemy. And I recognize the closer you get to Jesus, the smaller the crowd. You have the multitude opposed to him. You have the eight sitting around outside the garden. And you have the three inside the garden. But then if you take your Bible, notice Jesus. And notice in verse 39, Jesus is alone. While the three are told to stay there and watch, he went a little further. Underscore further. Jesus went further into the garden, and he spent time alone with the Lord. And what I'd like to do is speak to you in regard to these four positions in relationship with our Lord. The first thing I want you to think about is when you think about the different positions, and the thing that I desire to get into your heart at this time is that when the people came, that they were people that were individuals that came from different angles towards Jesus. Some were away from the Lord. Some were far away from him spiritually, and they were far away from him in locality at that time. Judas had gone back to Jerusalem. Jesus is on the Mount of Olives in the Garden of Gethsemane, which sits at the base of the mountain. And so Judas had crossed the Kidron Valley to go back to Jerusalem so he could sell Jesus, so he could betray Jesus, so he could have Jesus arrested. And I think about that man selling him out to the enemy. And I think about his position at that time. He's far away from the Lord spiritually. Then I consider the others who are sitting around the edges. There they are, sitting outside the garden. And I recognize the Lord had told them to be there, but I've often thought about what did they do when they sat on the edge of the garden. The problem with being on the edge of the garden was they were just as close to the enemy as they were to the Lord. They could go either way. Then we look at the three that were closer to Jesus. And notice there, they were in the midst of the garden. And then we have Jesus alone. But I want you to notice the second thing. Not only do we see they were different in position, we see they're different in size. If you stop for a moment and consider the sizes of each position, you will observe there's a great difference. Notice, Judas was with quite a few. In fact, the Bible says in verse 47, a great multitude. Have you ever stopped to think of the mob of people that Judas was with? So Judas was with a large crowd of people. People opposed to Jesus. People who were in opposition to His teaching and to who He was and to what He was. But then if you think about the eight, they're larger than the three. But they're just sitting around the edge of the garden. And then notice the three inside the garden. Notice the closer you get to Jesus, the smaller the crowd is. As someone once stated, when you're close to the Lord, you have plenty of elbow room. The large crowd was outside trying to kill the Lord. The eight right on the edge, they don't hate the Son of God, but at that time they're not having the same concern as the three inside the garden. They are close to the Lord, but they're not nearly as close as Peter, James, and John. So the nearer you get to Jesus, the smaller the crowd, but the better the crowd. I thought about how that's true in today's time. There are some preachers closer to Jesus than others, some elders closer to Jesus than others, some Bible teachers, some members, some teenagers. They have a closer relationship with Jesus than others. And I've come to learn one thing. The closer you get to the Son of God, the smaller the crowd. So not only do I see them at different positions, and not only do I see them in different size, but I see a third thing. I see the closer to Jesus you get, there's a different responsibility. And we need to think about that. Notice that the eight in verse 36, they were just told to sit. They were told to sit and wait. That was their responsibility at that time. But notice the three. They were told to watch and pray. If you have your Bible, notice if you will in verse 41, Jesus says, watch and pray lest you enter into temptation. They were given a responsibility that the other eight weren't. They were closer to Jesus. I've thought about the closer to Jesus you get, the greater the responsibility. I want to take that. I want to make application to our life to lessen you. I want to raise a question to you this morning. Of the groups we talked about, the four different groups, which best represents you? Now, before you answer in haste, let's just stop and think about some things. The first thing I want us to think about is when you stop and think about the question about the position of Christ, how many people are more like the world? All they want out of Jesus is what they can get out of. Judas, when he saw he could make a profit, was willing to sell the Lord. There are a lot of people who look at Jesus as nothing more than a good luck charm. Pray to when you need Him. He's nothing more than a means to gain what you want in this life. He is something that is used to get what we desire while we're here, and we do not honor, we do not praise, and we do not give Him the glory He deserves. And I want you to think about how many people in the world, they just look at Jesus as a means to getting something they want. Open your Bible, if you will, most kindly, to the book of Matthew in the 7th chapter. And look at what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 7. In Matthew chapter 7, in verse 13, Jesus said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction, and there are many who go in by it. Because narrow is the gate, and difficult is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it." I think about how many people spiritually are far from Jesus. But I want you to think about a second group. there are some that just sit around. They're like those on the edge. They never bring a soul to Christ. They never get excited over the work of the Lord. They just kind of sit there. Preachers can be guilty of that. Elders can be guilty of that. Members can be guilty of that. That we sit around and wait for something to happen instead of going out and proclaiming the gospel. And as Brother Walton talked about last week, having zeal. Have you ever thought, my friend, how we need to have zeal? I'll tell you something. If East Side ever closes its doors, it's going to be because there's been a lot of people who were in the group of just sitting around and waiting for somebody else to do something instead of doing it themselves. But I'll tell you, there's a third group. The ones close to Jesus that were told to watch and pray. He gave them more responsibility than the others. There are some today who live close to Jesus that have great responsibilities to the Lord. And you know one thing I'm going to say, and I pray I say it with the right attitude, and I'm going to say it yet with all kindness and candor. If you don't know what the leadership is doing, and all you do is complain about the elders and the work they do, or the deacons and the work they do, and the preacher and the work he does, and you never encourage him, you really don't have a right to criticize. Because there is work going on sometimes, and we sit back and we say, well, if I was doing it, I would do it different. Well, my friend, I'll never forget. One day my father was leading singing. And they kept complaining because he led the same songs. And I'll never forget the fellow that complained to him said, oh, we're going to hear that song again. Daddy handed him the song book and said, here, you do it. He said, I don't lead singing. He said, then you better leave it alone. It don't take much to complain, people. I do a fair share of it myself. But instead of complaining, what we need to do is try to help one another. And what we need is people who'd be willing to pray. When was the last time you prayed for the work at Eastside and the leadership and the work that's going on here? It's easy to sit on the outside and say, well, we're not doing anything wrong. What we need are people on the inside praying. But I'll tell you another thing. It means giving up. When one is close to Jesus and to fulfill the responsibility that is upon us, it means we must give up things near and dear to us. In Matthew 16:24, Jesus made a great statement. Jesus told the people of that day that if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. The hardest person to deny is self. The hardest person to say that I have to deny is myself, because I want my rights. I want my way. And when I don't get my rights and I don't get my way, then sometimes I throw a fit. I want you to think about in this day and time, there were people whose family members were killed because they worshiped the Lord. And they still were faithful to the Lord. But that brings up something else in our story. The closer to Jesus, the smaller the crowd. How many of us, when we obeyed the gospel, that the world would love us? Did you ever notice the closer to Jesus you got, the smaller the crowd? That's what Jesus said back to Matthew 7. The broad way leads to eternal destruction. That's the way the majority goes. But he said narrow is the way that leads to eternal life. And it's difficult. Have you ever noticed the closer to the Lord you get, the smaller the crowd? If I were to take a picture this morning of the crowd and then take a picture of the crowd tonight, what a contrast. And I recognize some people are sick. I recognize some people work. But I want to tell you something. I don't think there's many people working or sick that would show that contrast. Or even look on Wednesday evening. And I'm going to say it, and I pray I say it with the right attitude, because I don't want to be judged by my Lord. But I've got to say, I was pretty embarrassed by our attendance during the meeting. Now, maybe you couldn't have been here, and that's between you and the Lord. But here was an opportunity to be with this family of God, the saints of God, to praise God, to study about God, to know more about God, to get closer to God, and you said no. And I'll tell you what that means. That means that we need to examine ourselves. You want to know when someone's close to the Lord, call a work day. See who shows up. How small the crowd gets. And you know what worries me about that? If these things hinder us, what's going to happen when persecution comes? What's going to happen when they start taking away our rights? If these things hinder us from being what we need to be, what's going to happen when the government says you can't worship? Or when they take away our building and they take away our rights? I want to know, who's going to stand then? Peter said in 1 Peter 4:16, if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed. I'll tell you what I believe. It's time to stand for truth. I understand some people have sin. I understand some people have problems I may not even understand. But I'll tell you one thing. The thing that hurts me the most is when I see some of these people walking in, being wheeled in, so they can worship the Lord. And some of us with good health, we're a little bit too far away from Jesus. And I want to know, will you leave him? Open your Bible back to Matthew 26 and look at verse 56. And notice what was said. When persecution came at that time, but all this was done that the scriptures of the prophets might be fulfilled, then all the disciples forsook him and fled. He was alone. May I have enough backbone that if I have to stand by myself, stand alone, I stand with my Lord. And may it be said of the group at Esau, they stand with God. If you're here and you're not a member of the body of Christ, we want you to know you can be close to Jesus. He wants you to be close to Him. He never said this life would be easy, but I want you to understand one beautiful thought. I'm close to Him here. I'll be close to Him in eternity. Can you think of anything better than being with me when this life is over? The other day, I was driving on North Main, and this man pulled up beside me, rolled down his window, and cussed me out because he thought I was supposed to let him over. I didn't even know he was wanting over. And my son, Sam, was in the back, and Sam said, "What did he say?" And I said, "He said some bad words." He said, "Well, I don't know, want to know what he said." And I was fuming. I was mad at that fella. He cussed me, and I thought, oh, if I was younger, not a Christian, there's some things I'd like to do. Got down the road. I looked up at Sam, and I said, "Sam, what are you thinking about?" He said, "I'm just thinking about what will heaven be like." That put me in my place. Maybe some of us just need to think about what will heaven be like. As together we stand and sing.